Sarve Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation, Texts 1, 2, and 3. I assume there's just verse 1 there.
Yes.
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha. Kati Tatvani Vishvesha Sankhyatani Rishabhi Prabho Naivakadasha Pancha Trini Ata Twa Iha Shushruma Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Sankhyatan Rishabhi Prabho
Sankhyatan Rishabhi Prabho
Nai Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Sankhyatani Rishibhi Prabho
Sankhyatani Rishibhi Prabho
Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Shri Uddhava Ruvacha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Kati Tatvani Vishvesha
Sankhyatani Rishabhi Prabho
Sankhyatani Rishabhi Prabho
Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Navaikadasha Pancha Trini
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Atatvam Iha Shushruma
Vacha
Shri Uddhava Vacha
Shri Uddhava said
Kati
How many?
Tatvani.
Basic elements of creation.
Vishvaisha.
O Lord of the universe.
Sankhyatani.
Have been enumerated.
Rishabhi.
By great authorities.
Prabho,
O my Master,
Nava,
nine. Phew, wow. God,
the individual soul,
the Mahatattva,
false ego,
and the five gross elements.
Wow. There's a mistake here. It says Ekakasha, but it's Ekadasha. Ekadasha.
Ekadasha.
Plus 11.
Plus 11.
The 10 knowledge acquiring.
The 10 knowledge acquiring.
And working senses.
And working senses.
Together with the mind.
Together with the mind.
Pancha.
Pancha.
Plus 5.
Plus 5.
The subtle forms of the sense object.
The subtle forms of the sense object.
Trini.
Trini.
Plus 3.
Plus 3.
The modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Making altogether a total of 28.
Making altogether a total of 28.
Ata,
Ata,
have stated,
Tuam,
you,
Iha,
during your appearance in this world,
Shushruma,
so I have heard. Right, so now there's actually two more verses. I'll read them. Kechit shad vimshatim prahur, apare pancha vimshatim, saptaike navashat kechit, chatvaryeka dashapare, kechit sapta dashaprahu, shodashaike trayodasha, etavatvam hi sankhyanam, rishayo yad vivikshaya. Gayanti pritag ayushmam idam no vaktum arhasi. Okay. Translation of all the verses. Uddhava inquired, my dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the great sages? I have heard you personally describe a total of 28. God, the Jiva Soul, the Mahatattva, false ego, the 5 gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the 5 subtle objects of perception, and the 3 modes of nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25, or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11. And even others say that there are 17, 16, or 13. What did each of the sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me. Purport. Lord Krishna thoroughly explained in the previous chapter that Vedic knowledge is not meant for sense gratification, but for liberation from material bondage. Now Uddhava presents some intermediate questions that must be answered so the path of liberation will be clear. Different philosophers have historically disagreed over the exact number of material elements, about the existence and non-existence of particular external objects, and about the existence of the soul itself. The Gyanakanda section of the Vedas aims at liberation through analytic understanding of the material world and of the spirit soul as a transcendental element beyond matter. Ultimately, the Supreme Lord Himself stands above all elements and maintains them by His personal potency. Uddhava mentions, in numerical terms, different methodologies of various sages, citing first the Lord's own opinion. The word Ayushman, or possessing eternal form, is significant in this regard. Since Lord Krishna is eternal, He possesses all knowledge of past, present, and future, and is thus the original and supreme philosopher. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the different analytic approaches mentioned by Sri Uddhava are actually not contradictory, since they are different methods of categorizing the same reality. Atheistic speculation on reality does not recognize the existence of God. Consequently, it is a worthless attempt to explain the truth. The Lord Himself empowers different living entities to speculate and speak on reality in different ways. The actual reality, however, is the Lord Himself, who will now speak to Uddhava. Sri Uddhava Uvacha, Katitat Vani Vishvesha, Sankirtan Yirishabhi Prabho, Navaika Dasha, Pancha Trin, Yata Twam Ihishushrama, Ke Chit Shad Vimshatim Prahur, Apare Pancha Vimshatim, Saptake Navashat Ke Chit, Chatvar Yeka Dashapare, Ke Chit Sapta Dashaprahu, Shodashaike Triodasha, Etava Twam Hisankyanam, Rishayo Yadvavikshaya, Gayanti Pritag Ayushman, Idam no Vaktum Arhasi. Uddhava inquired, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the great sages? I have heard you personally describe a total of 28. God, the Jiva Soul, the Mahatattva, false ego, the five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes of nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25, or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11. And even others say that there are 17, 16, or 13. What did each of these sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me." Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastichyadesha Tarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrudhubhyas Jagripa Sindhu Bhyavacha, Vaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Well, it may sound a little complex, or very complex. It is complex, actually. Uddhava has raised it's an important question, but it is, well, it's described here in the purport as being an intermediate questions, or intermediate question, or intermediate questions, because there are a number of questions, really. So, intermediate. Perhaps not absolutely essential, but something of value for helping a person who's trying to come to the platform of liberation. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, there is the first six chapters describing different forms of yoga, the middle six chapters describing bhakti yoga, devotional service, the topmost yoga, and what is really the message of Bhagavad Gita, and then the last six chapters, which are presenting secondary knowledge. It is referred to as such, they are referred to as such by our acharyas in their commentaries, that it's secondary, the three modes of material nature, nature the enjoyer, and consciousness, the divine and demoniac natures, and so on, various things, their divisions of faith, and the yoga of the Supreme Person, which is really just a form of Krishna consciousness anyway. And then, of course, in the 18th chapter, the final chapter, there is something else, and that is a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Nothing new is presented, it's simply a summary. So that's separate. But otherwise, from 13 to 17 inclusive, these chapters, what is described here is said to be secondary knowledge. Not really as essential as the knowledge of devotional service, how to be a devotee and how to develop Krishna consciousness, what is the value of Krishna consciousness, what are the different practices in Krishna consciousness, man mana bhava mad bhakto, etc. All these things are essential. This is Krishna consciousness in so many different ways. The real essential truth, and that is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Become a devotee. Get out of material existence. In order to do that, to some degree, there's some value in understanding what is the material world, how it works, what it is, what it isn't, and like here, the different ingredients, how it is constructed, how it is functioning, there's some value. Although it is not absolutely essential. As we mentioned, what is absolutely essential is knowledge of devotional service, what it is, how to practice it, and so on. This is essential. But still, these points are interesting, and ultimately they're important. At least to get, you could say, a simple understanding of how the material world works. If you want to really go into it in detail, that will be a lifetime study. That will be a 10-lifetime study. In fact, it may be an indefinite number of lifetime study, and you still may not come to an end. And because you've been focusing on Maya in such ways, then your mind may become influenced and you may forget why you're studying it. Yes, you may think you're studying it just for it, just to understand this material world, so you know how to deal with it and how it's working, so you can make the most of it. But of course, that's not the idea. So a simple understanding, basic understanding of what is the material nature and how it works, what its effects are, how to deal with it like this. This is something of some value. Basic understanding. Not too detailed. There are three modes of material nature. There are the senses, and there are different ways of understanding the senses. The sensory functions, like the function of hearing, and then the sense organ of hearing, the ear. Yes, so like this. And the different elements that make up the material nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. So there's some value in understanding that. To help understand what is your situation in this world, and the need of addressing your situation and some of the pitfalls if you don't address your situation nicely. But to go into it in detail is not required. Just like the scientists, they have gone into this particular aspect. What is the world made of? The elements. We just say, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano buryarevacha ahankara ityam me. Bina prakritir ashtada. That Krishna has this material energy of Krishna's is divided into earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. That's enough. Scientists, how many chemicals are there? Molecules, how they are bonding together. Hopefully, we haven't heard too much about it because, sure, it's enough to make the head spin. They have analyzed, just on an elemental level, they have analyzed the ingredients of this material world into I don't know how many chemicals. Any scientists here? Devotee scientists? How many chemicals have they located?
I can't remember exactly, but once that when I was in school there were a certain number of elements, but subsequently they've discovered a few more.
Yes. Anyway, interesting question. I assume it's some thousands. I assume so. So, but we don't need, in order to become Krishna conscious, we don't need to understand the material nature in that much detail. Because our idea is to get out of the material nature and not to go more deeply into it and try to work with it. We just want to engage things in Krishna's devotional service. But still, in terms of our entanglement within this material world, it does help. In fact, it's basically necessary to understand the elements, earth, water, etc., the three modes, at least to have some understanding of the three modes, and certain other aspects, how Mahavishnu creates, and things like this. But otherwise, to go into it too much is a distraction. And yes, it's a distraction. So, but to facilitate us in our Krishna consciousness, some of these things may help. Understanding some of these things, at least to some degree, may help. Of course, it will not exactly help you chant Hare Krishna without offenses to understand these particular things. But in certain respects, Rupa Goswami describes in the earlier parts of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that jnana and vairagya have some use in the early stages of Krishna consciousness. But once you become, early stages means the stages of becoming situated, getting from just simple material existence to the point of becoming situated a little solidly in devotional service. At which stage then you can fully engage in devotional service and your idea, your determination is to do that. But to make that transition, of course, making that transition is the most difficult, really, part of Krishna consciousness. Once you become firmly situated, say, certainly by the time you get situated on the level of nishta, means you're steady in Krishna consciousness, you're fixed in devotional service, you're not just wavering, you know, in a sort of very free way, but you're quite strongly focused. So up till that point, well, when you've reached that point, then being absorbed nicely in devotional service, then you can just carry on being absorbed in devotional service and become more absorbed and make greater progress and develop a taste and then become even more focused, and it just increases. But in the very early stages, one first comes to Krishna consciousness and the first question is, should I or shouldn't I? And some say, I shouldn't. So they come to the beginning stages, come and associate with devotees a little, maybe even just one time, and then they turn away. And others, they get into a little bit, but not wholeheartedly. And so in their cases, after some time, they get involved in something else and leave Krishna consciousness. And so we've all seen this type of phenomenon on a number of occasions, even many occasions. So, yeah, that is the main challenge. So, Rupa Goswami describes then that for devotees who are not fixed like that, they're not fixed yet in devotional service, they're still in between, sort of, yeah, trying to see whether they want to what degree they want to, in what, if they want to, in what ways they may want to, and what to do about their material desires, how to deal with them. And for people like that, then Rupa Goswami says a certain amount of jnana and vairagya may help, but only up to that point where you become fixed, and then they don't help. Then, in fact, your jnana, your vairagya may become a distraction. For example, Srila Prabhupada, he preached so frequently that we're not these bodies. In different ways, Srila Prabhupada presented that. Then, in different ways, Srila Prabhupada presented that this material world is not our natural home, it is not a nice place, it is not, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would say, it is not a fit place for a gentleman or a gentlewoman. It is a mess. And it makes people messes, this material world. So, so therefore, in the early stages, seeing we are not these bodies, but actually we're Krishna's eternal servants, and we're not part of the material world, we need to stop doing certain things that previously we were doing. Quite a number of things. First of all, we need to follow the four regulative principles, or stop those four activities which are so prominent in material existence. And in the initial stages, one may have to make some effort, because the mind, being so conditioned after many lifetimes in this material world, the mind has strong attractions. deeply ingrained to all sorts of material activities and material experiences. So therefore it is necessary, Srila Prabhupada adopted the practice, that when devotees get first initiation, they have to take those vows. No illicit sex life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. They have to do that and have to remain somewhat mindful, not simply thinking about not doing these things and being focused like that, but certainly as we move around in this material world and contact different people, different situations, then we may have to be mindful, remind ourselves, oh, I must be careful, not mix with these people, not get into this situation. One devotee, young lady in Mauritius, was telling me a few days ago, she went out on book distribution for the first day, and she was doing very well. And she met some young Muslim man, and he seemed a little interested. So she gave him the book and told him to give the money. And he said, well, actually, I don't really want the book. You can keep the book, but I'll take your phone number. So at a time like that, one would have to think, ah, I see. Not interested in Krishna consciousness, but wants my phone number. Looks like it could have something to do with one of the regulative principles. Yeah. So in different situations, mixing with the opposite sex, if somehow or other you're out and you have to buy, you have no prasadam from the temple or no proper prasadam, you have to buy something in the shop, then checking what are the ingredients. We just got a message, I got a message just a few weeks ago. Somebody is at Woolworths, I forget who it is, changed the ingredients in some of their yogurt. Now that it didn't have any gelatine or that sort of thing, now it does. So we have to be a little mindful, actually. And you can't just go in there and close your eyes and just pick up any, whatever it may be, and just assume it's okay. You have to be a little mindful. So this is there in the earlier stages. Not that it should be a big, big meditation about being vegetarian. For materialistic vegetarians, it is a big, big meditation. For the devotees, it shouldn't become that. For the devotees, they should meditate on Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna, and how to render a devotional service very nicely, with the right attitudes, with a real service attitude, and like that. And avoid, but still be mindful of avoiding these things. And not somehow get sort of lured into it. Creeping materialism. It doesn't look like it's affecting you more. But if you look carefully, you'll see it's subtly affecting you more. So there's a place then. There's a place, to some degree, for jnana. And this falls in the category of jnana, knowledge. Jnana is not simply some impersonal knowledge, although that is, in one sense, the most famous type of jnana. But jnana means analytical knowledge. including this type of knowledge of the material nature. And after all, Lord Krishna himself gives it in the beginning parts of the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So some jnana, some knowledge of these things, how they work, and some vairagya, some renunciation. In the earlier stages, it's necessary or it may be necessary until one becomes strongly attached to Krishna, at which point that becomes the driving force in one's life, and anything other than that, one just feels no interest in. But still, one has to be mindful to avoid any distractions. Yes. Like, for example, in the Bhagavatam, there is the description of the mixing of the modes of material nature. There are three modes, of course, but then the description is they mix and become nine. And then they mix again and become 81. So, you know, some goodness mixed with some passion, mixed with some ignorance, and mixed again with some other type of goodness, or we don't get into it that much generally. But some basic understanding needs to be there, or it's best if it's there, so that we can cut off our attachment to this material world nicely without maintaining some ideas that something in the material world may be nice, or that the material world, just not understanding the dangers of this material world sufficiently. So therefore Uddhava is asking Lord Krishna, he's saying, I heard you talk about 28 components. 28. The Lord, the Jiva, the Mahatattva, false ego, the five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes. That makes 28. But then others have described it in different ways. What has happened is that the materialistic Sankhya people, the materialistic ones, they leave out God and the soul. They say that there's just that we are simply material. That's all. We are a combination of the 26 or so. Yeah. You know, actually different of them have different, slightly different versions. But that would be a sort of classic understanding. So yes, we are material entities. Made up of some compositions of these different elements. And others, so in other words, some have different ideas based on either accepting or not accepting certain of the components. Others combine components, and so they get different numbers. So Uddhava is saying, how has it happened? How is it all working? In principle, it's just like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the 64 qualities of Krishna. But actually, the point is made, Krishna has innumerable qualities. Not just 64. He has innumerable qualities. And even Sanatana Goswami describes in one of his purports in the 10th canto that Krishna has so many qualities that he has one particular quality which he only reveals to Sweta Dweep Prabhu and nobody else. And then he has another particular quality which is only revealed to Madhu Mangal Prabhu and not to Sweta Dweep Prabhu and nobody else. So however many living entities there are in total, it's unlimited. It's vast, 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 and it's actually unlimited. The number of qualities of Krishna is literally unlimited. There's literally no end to it. So what Rupa Goswami is doing when he says that Krishna has 64 qualities, he is combining. There's 64 groups of similar qualities. But actually when you really get into it, like when you see Krishna manifest a particular, you know, it would be in the context of 64 qualities, it would be considered a subset of one of the 64. But actually you would see it is a specific quality. It is not just, you know, a certain type of mercy. It's a very specific quality in and of itself, and to really appreciate it and do it justice, you have to see it as a quality in and of itself and not just lump it together with the others under this heading of mercy and say, yeah, it's just mercy. It works like that. It works like that. In fact, Lord Brahma says that Krishna has so many qualities. He gives different examples. One of them is as many qualities as there are grains of sand. So, that, of course, that's an extremely large number. You can, if you take sand and mix it with water, just water, it becomes sort of semi-solid. You can build a sand castle. It becomes semi-solid, and you might think it's just, you know, it's one thing, that lump of sand. But it still remains, it's many grains of sand, actually. So similarly with Krishna's qualities, 64 qualities. You can say, yes, mercy and gratitude and beauty and so many, whatever, there's 64. But really, when you go into each one, then you see that each one is a composite, and each element which the composite is composed of can stand on its own and really, you know, ultimately at least, to really appreciate it as much as one could, one should see it on its own and not just under that generalized heading. So similarly, it may be possible to analyze the elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, into so many chemicals. How many chemicals are there? Lots. There's lots. It may be possible to do that. But we, for our understanding, just to help us in Krishna consciousness, if we understand it as earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, that'll be sufficient, and that can help us in certain situations and be like a support, something which helps us in our Krishna consciousness. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Sometimes the five is, you know, like you're a little bit confusing. And then I was so asked for another question. Father said that if you read the Bhagavad Gita, I don't have it word for word, but he said, just by reading the Bhagavad Gita, one studies and practices it, you can become self-realized or God-realized.
Yes.
Is it absolutely necessary to read the Srimad Bhagavatam as a...
One should read it under proper supervision.
Yes.
If you read it under proper supervision, then many, many things which may have initially confused you will become clear. Yeah. However, Prabhupada, you know, there were occasions, his assistants have told us, there are occasions when Prabhupada said, you only need this one book, Bhagavad Gita. Then, I forget who it was, but one of Prabhupada's assistants said he was with Prabhupada one time. Prabhupada was reading Nectar of Devotion. And Prabhupada said, you only need this one book, Nectar of Devotion. So, but Srila Prabhupada said that we should read actually all of his books. All of his books. And particularly four. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, particularly. But actually we should read all his books.
I think his main mission was Srimad Bhagavatam, because when he took Bhagavatam from India.
Yeah, that's
first
true.
First Bhagavatam, and after he knew Bhagavad Gita. Also, reading is...
He's
enjoying Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So much.
Sure.
And we have Maharaj is absorbed on this issue. Narrating Bhagavad.
The thing is that it is not like, I would say, if somehow you are geographically isolated, extremely, and the only book you had was Bhagavad Gita, and you were very, very serious about your Krishna consciousness, you could become fully Krishna conscious without reading other books. But as Swetadweep Prabhu said, he raised a very important perspective. It's so nice. It's not just like, what books do we have to read? Like when you're going to university or school, you have to study certain books. And, you know, you certainly won't enjoy it as much as if you read these books nicely. If you read these books nicely, you'll relish them. And you'll want more and more and again and again. Otherwise, you know, the material knowledge and all that, it's more like, okay, you know, this year I'm doing whatever, some particular course. What books do I have to read? Yeah. It's not so nice. It's just a duty at best, a chore at worst, well, not at worst, but... torture at worst. Somehow or other, study these books and get all this stuff into your head. Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Actually, one of the special things of Krishna's, if he can thread needles. If he doesn't thread the needle, then I can sit there for hours not being able to do anything. But the special gift that he gives me, that he shows through me, is that he can thread needles.
Okay. He can thread an elephant through the eye of a needle. He can thread a herd of elephants at one time. Okay. Thank you.